둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Hey, thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the series. If you're not already a subscriber, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. I put out three brand new episodes every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you like this, there's a good reason to subscribe. You can do so at Spotify, Apple Podcast, and NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Don't forget also to give the series a rating, leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests on lately, including Prentice Penny. He produced Black Twitter, A People's History, that's playing now on Hulu. Comedian Matt Matthews was here. Maya Hawk, talking about her movie Wildcats. Spike Ferriston, he co-wrote Unfrosted with Jerry Seinfeld. Brent Smith of Shinedown. Sarah Dowland, the documentarian behind Sue Bird in the Clutch. Katie Crutchfield from Waxahachie was here. Kevin Bacon and the Bacon Brothers. Scoot McNairy to talk about the Kit Harington co-starring Blood from Dust. We also had Stone Gossard and Mike McCready from Pearl Jam. Dave Wakeling of the English Beat. Skeet Ulrich from Scream and Riverdale. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actress Amber Sharday Robinson, to talk about Palm Royale, playing now on Apple TV+. This is, of course, the underdog story that follows Maxine Simmons, played by Kristen Wiig, as she endeavors to break into Palm Beach high society. And co-stars Laura Dern, Carol Burnett, Ricky Martin, and Josh Lucas, to name a few. Amber, who portrays Virginia in the show, is going to talk about what the show offers, having been set in 1969, especially as a black voice during that time of history, and in contrast to the resort characters she's frequently at odds with, as well as how comedy serves as a vehicle for heavier subjects. Amber's also going to tell us how hard it was to keep a straight face when you have Wig as a scene partner, her character's musical theme, but also the Marvin Gaye song that she would pick as her official theme song. All that and more as we're talking Palm Royale, out now on Apple TV+. It's Kyle Meredith with Amber Chardé Robinson.
How are you?
It's been so fun watching this season of Palm Royale and and everything you've been a part of. I was thinking, of course, you know, as with any project that, you know, you get to be a part of, anybody gets to be a part of, you shoot it so far back, time happens.
Yeah.
But it's kind of fun actually getting to talk to you in the middle of the season, because have you been watching it? Do you keep up in that way in real time with everybody else?
Yes and no. Sometimes, you know, my nervous system can't handle it. Like, I'm like, everybody is watching this at the same time. So I was lucky enough to be able to see the first five episodes before they came out. And this was like before they cut it all together. There was still like green screens and things in the background. And so episode six, I was like, okay, let me just go ahead on and watch it, because a couple of my castmates was like, you need to watch this episode, it's amazing. And so I turned it on, and from beginning to end, I was just bawling. Because not only is that episode very, very like heart-wrenching, but just watching all of the elements come together, like the artwork, and it was just amazing to see. I was like, this is a really good show. And everybody's like, yeah. And I was like, well, you know, when you're in something, you kind of like, your awareness is a little different than everybody else's. So it's just really cool to see it in its full glory. It's such a beautiful show.
Are you able to separate?
Kind of, like, I watch, and when I watch those first five episodes, it's the reason why I didn't watch all 10, is because watching myself sometimes feels like fresh hell, and you're like, why'd you make that decision? You did that with your lips, you did that with your eyes, why would you look over there? But when I'm watching everybody else, I have to step outside of myself and be like, well, when I'm watching Kristen and Laura, I'm not thinking about, oh, their hand went here. I'm like, so people aren't actually watching it with a critical eye like you are. So you have to take that hat off and try to enjoy the show. Just try to be present.
Because it's a very fun show. It's a very fun show. And it's interesting, because I remember when I went into it pretty blind, I guess. And, you know, just kind of taking it as it comes. And I remember those first couple episodes going, what is this?
Yeah.
You know,
what's going to happen? It does a good job of leaving you on a cliffhanger. As for me, when I read, we got the episodes as we were shooting them. So you get episode one and then you shoot it. Then you get episode two. So I'm reading, and as I'm reading the scripts as they come in, I'm like, oh my God. I was like, what now? And then when we got to episode 10, I was like, oh my God, what now? Like, I can't wait for you guys to see the end. It's such a good show. And I was just so caught off guard every week going into work. I was like, okay, well, this is happening. And now being able to watch it, it's like, oh, wow, look how they put all that together. It's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, wow. What happens now, by the way? Yeah, by the end. And that's what happens now.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's like, even backing up, like, and I do want to hit on like episode five, right? Like, you really get to have fun on that fifth mm-hmm. episode. What mm-hmm. did I write down? Like a Watergate Scooby-Doo or Scooby-Doo? Yeah. Like, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah. I felt like between five and six and seven, those were like the funnest episodes to shoot, especially the funeral scene, despite it being so heavy. Everybody was on set that day. And it's kind of rare when you have so many people in a cast for us to all be in one spot. So it was a really, really, really heightened, fun day. It was hot that day. We were outside. We had our little fans. We just had a good time shooting those episodes.
Yeah, because up until that point, right, like they'd kept the two social groups separate, like completely yeah. separate.
Completely. Even when we were shooting, it was almost like I was actually living this life. Like, there were moments where Kristen would come in and I was like, oh, she has on yellow today. That's nice. And I was like, I like those heels in my mind as Amber, not as Virginia. But I'm like, they were living a completely different life over there compared to us. Even in how we're dressed, like the colors, we're in earth tones and they're in the pastels. It's just a completely different world.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Amber Chardet Robinson.
Well, let's talk about that world. I know you've done that, some of that in the past with these interviews, but I'd love to hear, like, for this being set in the period it's set in the it was 60s, right? Late 60s. Like, what does that offer? What does that offer you as an actor?
It offers me like a little insight into that time period, which I think is so cool to experience. I mean, as for Black people, it was a very specific time. So to be able to be in this environment and be a Black woman and be a voice for us is so important to me. It's another reason why I signed up for to do this show. Because it's really hard for African-American women to see themselves in the feminist movement in 2024, let alone 1969. I was like, what does that look like? What does that feel like? Because me, myself, I struggle with feeling included in that movement today. So I'm like, I can only imagine how I would feel in 1969. So for me, it was a journey.
So how did you get that mindset then? I mean, is that research? I mean, because a lot of this feels very natural, and I'm sure a lot of it would be natural. Mm-hmm. But like, to, as you're saying, you're learning this as you're going. Like, how did you get into that? What would it have been like at that moment?
I think it's about, Virginia is what people like to call the moral compass of the show. I like to think of her as somebody who lives in reality. You know, as a Black person, we're born into this reality. Whereas people like in the high society, they get to choose what kind of life they want to live. And being a Black woman in 1969, I have to live in what's real for me, what's actually happening in front of me, and how people are actually treating me. And so looking at how they chose to live their lives and the reality that they got to choose really grinded my gears as a Black woman. Even when I read the script, I was like, you know, like, so it wasn't hard for me to be like, I'm gonna live in reality while y'all live in the fairy tale land, because I don't have a choice. I don't have that privilege to look outside of myself and be like, I'm gonna go join the country club and live this kind of life. No, I have to live what is given to me, what's laid out for me. I don't have that option.
But and what's interesting about this role too, and as we're talking about the tone of the show, it's like, here you are, when it's the bookstore's turn and beyond that, but especially then, you know, there are conversations of feminism, there are conversations of the patriarchy, there are conversations of racism while doing it through comedy.
Yeah, and comedy is a little bit more palatable, I believe. It allows people to sit back willingly on this ride, rather than sometimes things could be heavy-handed, or a lot of people tend to turn their heads away from things because they're like, I don't want to be force-fed anything. I don't, you know, those kind of energies. But when it's served on a dish of comedy, people are like, never thought about it that way. Or that's funny. Like, it opens up another portal in people's minds to be able to take in the idea of change or the idea of, you know, revolution.
Yeah, especially like there are those moments where you're talking to Laura Dern's character and you say, yeah, that wouldn't happen for me.
It wouldn't.
Right. And I'm only echoing you here. It's like those moments where you've had this laughter and you've had these bizarre, outlandish moments, mm-hmm. and then you get a line like that and it just lands.
Yeah. And because the world is so specific. You know, this world is very white dominated. So for someone like me to exist in this world, the things that they are getting away with, I wouldn't dare even get the opportunity to go steal from your daddy at his own funeral. It's just not happening.
That line, I'm not robbing your dead daddy at his own funeral.
Not doing it.
And what's the other line? I'm going to go ahead and try this one. I don't consider myself with the shenanigans of
Vapid Poons.
Like those lines. Not like, real. Were there any lines? I mean, how was it to deliver that? Like, is it easy? Like, do you have any trouble delivering any of these lines in these moments?
No, because the circumstances are so similar to how I think in those moments anyway. So sitting there with Kristen and her like, oh my God, you know, wham, I'm like, there are bigger fish to fry out here. Like, they not letting us drink out the same water fountains. There are other things that are going on. Like, we just came off the heels of the civil rights movement. Like, and you're worried about apples and oranges. There's bigger things to be worried about here. So it wasn't hard for me to be like, girl, whatever. Like, it's a wake-up call, really. I think Virginia's the alarm clock in this situation.
I will say, you are obviously a professional at this. And when I see those scenes and I hear those lines and I see your scene partners, which Kristen Wiig and the faces that she makes, like, that's the moments like, how in the world is she holding this together and pulling this off?
You should be asking us, because that lady is a comedic genius. There were moments where me and Laura Dern are sitting across from Kristen Wiig and we have to turn our heads away from the camera because she is so funny. There were moments where they would let her improv and we would be like, I can't look at her. I literally cannot look at her because she takes it so seriously, but it's the most absurd things that are coming out of her mouth. It is hilarious. She's such a professional.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Amber Chardet Robinson.
And it is interesting seeing the two groups because they are both social groups. So right. Even in all these differences, I think, but they're still social groups in Palm Beach. You know, maybe it's West Palm Beach, yeah, or whatever. Like we see the difference, but do you think of them in that similar way? Like you're really just two sides of a coin in some matters, I guess.
Yeah, I think there, like I said earlier, there's an opportunity for them to be social, but also turn a blind eye to certain things because they have that privilege to do so. Mm-hmm. Whereas someone who looks like me, I have to consider everybody. I have to consider for my own survival in this environment. I have no choice. I can't turn a blind eye here, which is, I think that builds the resentment between the two.
Of course, there's still a lot of mystery with Virginia that's being set up. So
I love that. I love it. And I love that people are like actually seeing that aspect of it. So it's really exciting.
I also want to point out, what was I reading? Like in Black, the song Black Melt, like you've actually got a musical theme that's been assigned to you.
Yeah, we all do, which I thought was really cool. I was like, oh, wow. I found out on Instagram like a week or two ago. I was like, oh, I love this. And every week the composer, he like puts out different songs for different things. And I'm glad he's doing that because there's so much music within the show, like especially the funeral scene when Bruce Dern dies. I'm like, what is that song? It was so specific and it encapsulated that moment so well. Really good work.
Now, outside of the score, and it's on the spot question right here, so apologies. But if you've got a theme song for Virginia mind, like this is her power song, what do you think it's going to be?
The thing that's been bopping around in my mind is I heard it through the grapevine by Marv. What's his name? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. I heard it through the grapevine. Is that?
Yeah, it's Marvin Gaye, right? It's Marvin Gaye. Yeah. It's with the group, but yeah.
Yeah. Because she hears and sees everything. And yes, she is like, to me, Virginia has a lot of power to take these people down, you know, in the grand scheme of things. And she knows more than what people think she knows. And she's way more equipped than what they think she is. She's overqualified to be in this environment. Let's just say that.
I like that song choice. I do like that song choice. I'll wrap up because I know you got some other things going on too. What was I seeing? Black Cypress Bayou. Are you done with that? Is that?
Yeah, I just wrapped the play that we ended March 17th. We were at the Geffen Playhouse here in L.A. Yeah. It's a really cool experience. It was really nice to be back on stage and to do a play because it's nothing like feeling that energy from the audience every night and being able to like live in a character for a specific amount of time. Really, really good time. A blessing.
Yeah, congrats on that. And I also caught one of the other interviews you were doing. Somebody asked you if you could go back and you were talking about the Harlem Renaissance period. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, I would love to see you as well in something like that. Why did you pick that one?
Because that was a time for people who look like me and people who I feel like I'm like a great grandbaby of that era. Like I lived in New York. I'm an artist. I live in that community. So to be able to go back and be with some of the great people that we look at their work today, like James Baldwin and Langston Hughes, and to be around them while they're in this mode of creativity, this energy of creativity, would be such one hell of an experience. Like, you would learn. I feel like I would just, let me just touch the hem of Langston Hughes' garment real quick, like just to give me some of that good creative energy. Like it's just such a cool time for Black folks and artists at that time, music, television, dancers, all of that. It was such a great period. I mean, it wasn't great as far as like socially in society, but as far as creativity goes, it was a huge moment for us.
Great, great music. I've spent a lot of time listening to the jazz era stuff that came out of that.
Yes.
I'd love to see you in that role. In the meantime, Palm Royale was so good. And it's so much fun to watch all of you all go on these adventures and develop and the twists and turns. Congrats on the season. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Of course. Thank you so much.
My thanks to Amber. Palm Royale, now playing on Apple TV+. Thanks to you, of course, for checking out the episode. Please, again, do hit that subscribe button while you're here. That way you get three new interviews sent to you every single week. New one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And again, please do give the series a rating, leave a review while you're at it. Those always help out so much. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. So I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent episodes featured some classics and favorites from the Beach Boys, Prince, Royal Otis, Counting Crows, Natalie Merchant, the Posies, Paul Weller, Granddaddy Beck, The Specials, Bacar, Twin Peaks, Phosphorescent, Joni Mitchell, Tom Waits, Eels, Ani DeFranco, The Scratch, Nicole Adkins, Michael Franti, Mumford & Sons, Sonic Youth, Snack Time, and my interview with Desi Leidick of The Daily Show. Just an example of what you can hear every weeknight starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone. Up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.